Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, talking about the work of God. In the beginning of verse 10, Paul wrote that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, and I was emphasizing the point that we are His workmanship, and that the works that He prepares for people to do are a part of His workmanship. These works that He gives us to do have to do with allowing us to be participants in the work that He is doing within His people. And there were two topics that I presented in the previous message. The first topic of work has to do with salvation, that people may be saved. So the good works that our God will prepare for us to participate in are the kinds of works that have to do with participating in communicating the truth of God to other people so that they can be saved. And then the second category has to do with the growth and maturity of a person who has been saved. And this also is accomplished through the revelation of the truth that God has revealed because of what He has done for us. And so the good works, primarily, the good works that He will prepare for us to participate in have to do with either the salvation of a person or the growth and maturity of a person. And the growth and maturity of a person has to do with growing to know their God, maturing in the faith, maturing in the truth, in the sense that they will embrace, believe, and respond to the truth that has been revealed to them, that is consistent with the gospel, and that has to do with the new covenant that He has established because of what He did through the Messiah, through Jesus. So while there, of course, can be many different kinds of works that we may be involved in the lives of other people, and I divided the works up in the previous programs between the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit, some of those works that are related to the flesh, related to those things that are temporary in nature, can certainly be works that He prepares for us to do, that He encourages us to do, but I would strongly expect that these would be very much connected to the work of salvation, the spiritual work of God, which has to do with making new creations in Christ Jesus because people believe and embrace the gospel that He has presented through the Messiah. So while there may be works of the flesh and God may be involved in those, I do not want to encourage people to try to be concerned about whether or not some work of the flesh in the sense of some work of temporary nature is of God or not. If you feel inspired to do something for somebody that is outside of the revelation of God Himself, then by all means do that. No one should be evaluated or condemned by such things. But what I believe God is primarily involved in, what His real work is here on earth, has to do with salvation and the growth of His children. He makes us spiritually alive, into a new creation, a new being, and living things grow. Living people grow. We are to grow. We are to change. We are to mature. We are to become a different person than who we once were, in this case, because of the personal interactive relationship that we have with our God. And our God may provide us with opportunities to participate in the work that He is doing. As for myself, He certainly has used me on many occasions to help and assist and encourage people to be saved, and people have been saved. And in addition to that, He uses me quite often for the purpose of helping a person grow and mature in the faith. And most of the work that I have found myself doing over the years has been related to taking away the barriers that people are often struggling with, the things that they believe that are not true, I'm often used in order to help people make corrections concerning their beliefs and so that they can embrace those things that are true, that they need to know, that they need to believe, that they need to live their lives in accordance with, so that they can grow and mature in the faith, in the love, and in the acceptance, in the forgiveness of God. But I'm still alive. I still have many years to go from what I can tell. And if the Lord uses me for other things, then I will be thankful for whatever He may allow me to participate in. But in verse 10, the subject really has to do, from what I can tell, it really has to do with the subject of salvation and continuing to grow and mature in the faith. Because in verse 11, that's what he talks about. That's what he goes on and speaks of. The subject of salvation, that people may be saved, that this is the work that he is doing, and he invites us to participate in this work. And so Paul goes into the subject of salvation, and in writing to the Ephesians, who were recognized as Gentiles, people who were not Jews, he speaks to them about the subject of the separation of humanity between the Jew and the Gentile. Now, what's really important to keep in mind as I proceed from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and go into verse 11 and the following verses, what's important to keep in mind is that, first of all, the Jew needs to be saved just like the Gentile. The objective is not to figure out how do we get a Gentile to become like a Jew. Or maybe how do we get a Jew to become like a Gentile? This has nothing to do with either one of those topics. Salvation has nothing to do with either one. How do you get a Gentile to become a Jew or a Jew to become a Gentile? The New Covenant has nothing to do with those topics. And yet throughout the centuries, there has been a tremendous struggle when it comes to people considering the things of God, because in many cases, there is the assumption that it's going to be one or the other, that either the Jew is going to abandon Judaism and in effect become a Gentile, or a Gentile is going to abandon whatever paganism they were a part of, and they're going to embrace Judaism and become a good Jew. This is what people are often thinking when it comes to the Scriptures and when it comes to the things of God. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul explains that it has nothing to do with either one of those topics at all. It has nothing to do with either one. The objective is to become a new person, a new man in Christ Jesus. He refers to this ahead in verse 15, where he speaks about the one new man from the two. There is a new person who is created by God, who is created from either a Jew or a Gentile, which means that regardless of whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile, they still need to be saved. They will still need to be born again by the Spirit, made into a new creation in Christ, and they should be expected to walk the same path of discovering and knowing their God. Now, going back to verse 11, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul wrote, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands." He uses the word flesh twice in verse 11. He says it twice. He says it once for each person, the Gentiles in the flesh, and he also refers to the circumcision, who are also known as the Jews, or just in general, the Israelites. They are made in the flesh by hands. Paul uses the word flesh in connection with both the Jew and the Gentile in order to emphasize the point that the only real difference between those of the circumcision, the Jews or the Israelites, and the Gentiles, the only difference is circumcision. That's the difference. But circumcision is an act of the flesh. It is done by the flesh. It's in the flesh. It's about the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. And that is not the work of God. The work of God has to do with the Spirit. It has to do with the resurrection of the Spirit, a person being made into a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the Messiah was given for, what the Messiah came for, what the Messiah accomplished. That's what the Messiah was about. It was about making a new person. Now, this can be quite a struggle and quite a challenge, especially for those who are Israelites or those who are Jews, because there is an inherent amount of pride that is defined, established, and encouraged within the Jewish communities, that because you are a Jew, well then, you know, you're special, you're different, you're not like one of those other people, one of those other Gentiles. Well, why? I mean, what really makes you different? What's the difference? There are two different ways to look at this. The first way is, genealogically speaking, that you have certain genetics. And the other way to look at this has to do with the spiritual dynamics concerning what you may really believe, what really is your faith. Those are two different ways to look at that topic to answer a question such as, well, just what is a Jew anyway? I mean, what is a Jew? Here in verse 11, Paul emphasizes the point that the only real difference has to do with circumcision. Well, you could circumcise a Gentile, then what? Then what do you have? Do you have a Jew at that point? The Jews would say, no, no you don't, in general, unless they convert, I suppose, unless they convert to the faith, and this is a religious exercise, but that would mean what? And what is a person going to believe, and what are they going to embrace, and what are they going to do, really? This is a big topic, and I'm not going to try to talk about what really is a Jew in this program. It would take way too much time, and I honestly don't think that it's worth even really speaking about at length. But this is a topic of interest to a lot of people. Quite often it's a topic of interest to Jews. All I'm going to say in this message is that the first thing that you need to recognize is that circumcision is a physical work in the flesh, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the spirit of a person. In fact, it's done for the males, and this is done when you're 8 days old. And when you're 8 days old, you don't know anything about your God. You don't know anything about anything. And so this is no time to be establishing personal convictions about what your faith may be or your religion may be or anything like that. And so while the Jew or the Israelite may boast a lot and they may establish a sense of pride and declare that they are separate from the Gentiles, why? Because of this act that's done in the flesh, and it's done by the hands of men. It's not done by God. It's done by other people. God gave the law and he gave the ordinance of circumcision. He participated in that way, but it's something that is done in the flesh, by the flesh, for the flesh, in the flesh. That's all about the flesh. It has absolutely nothing to do with knowing your God, being saved, having a place in the kingdom of heaven, or anything like that whatsoever. It is related to the issues of the flesh, and we could talk about the identity of a Jew being established by something like this, or we could talk about the identity of a Jew being established by who their parents were, but then you may also want to talk about, well, what about the identity of a Jew by the faith, by their God? You know, because there are many people who would look at me and they would say, well, I am no longer a Jew. There's lots of people who would like to think that that's the case, because why? Because I believe in a different God? A different God compared to who? Compared to what God? What God do you believe in? And what this is about is, this is about, did God manifest in the flesh and dwell among us as a person or not? And if I think that he did, you know, like he did when he visited with Abraham, just to give you an example, if I believe that he did that again, well then supposedly I'm not a Jew anymore. But if I believed in anything else to include, if I believed that there was no God at all, if I believe that, well, then of course I'm still a Jew, according to these people. So the definition is just based on convenience and based on whatever somebody wants to believe in order to say that I am unacceptable to them. You know, whatever it takes, anything that it takes in order to say that I am an unacceptable person, or, you know, in fact, I'm not even really a person at all. I'm just this horrific entity of some kind that people need to find ways to abuse or use or whatever. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I've encountered because of the convictions that I have about Jesus. But my point in mentioning that has to do with the spiritual dynamic of just what is a Jew really based on what they really believe. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you know God. Doesn't mean that at all. As much as there are many Jews who would like to advertise that as being the case. Don't let them intimidate you. This is not the truth. It never has been the truth. Back at this time, when Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians, these were the same struggles back then as they are today. And back then, there were lots of Jews, lots of Israelites, who did not even acknowledge the existence of God, believe that there was a God, and yet they were considered to be good Jews. Why? Well, it would just depend on who you asked, and what part of town they were in, and whether or not they had a good job. You know, I mean, those were the kinds of things that were going on back then. Same kinds of things and struggles are going on today, and so do not get all wrapped up in all of the doctrines and confusions and beliefs and attitudes that people have concerning this. The first thing to keep in mind is what he says here in verse 11, and that is that it is all about the flesh. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the condition of the flesh. Now, from a spiritual point of view, there was a separation. If the Jew decided to embrace the Mosaic law in their lives, then there could be an opportunity for a separation, for a difference, because they lived by the Mosaic law. The Gentiles did not. And this law was given by God, and so there is supposedly this sort of connection between the Jew and God because the Jew obeys a law that God gave. But in reality, they don't really obey it. They just try. They live by it as they find it convenient, as they are able. But no one has ever observed and obeyed the law to the satisfaction of God as he defined it, as he required it. That was the ministry of the Lord Jesus, to inform people that he was not impressed by their attempts to live in obedience to the Mosaic law. So the Jew who is pursuing a life under the law, that may make them a little bit different, a little bit unique. But the Gentile could do that if they wanted to also. They could do that. Many of them did. Many of them converted to Judaism in that way, in that sense, where they decided to embrace the Mosaic law for themselves. They were referred to as proselytes, but a person could do that without even assuming the title or designation of a proselyte. They could do that anyway. They would not even have to believe that there was even a God in order to do that. They could just do that just like a Sadducee would. It would be no different than if they were a Sadducee in Jerusalem living their lives there. It would make no difference whatsoever. And even if they were successful, if the Jew was successful or the Gentile was successful at living in complete obedience to the Mosaic law, they still would not know their God. They still would not be a new creation in Christ Jesus. The law never promised that. It never stated that. It never gave anyone any sense of hope or peace concerning that whatsoever. The most that you could hope for was what was described by the law, which was the blessings of God, that God would intervene in your life here in the flesh in some way, and he would bless you in your flesh. That's the law. That's what the law stated. And so a life under the law in and of itself, if a Jew was to live by the law, they could say that they are distinct from a Gentile, but if they were to be blessed by God, it still would have nothing to do with the resurrection of their spirit, with them being made spiritually alive or having a place in the kingdom of heaven or being made into a new creation of any kind whatsoever. It would have nothing to do with that at all. This is important to recognize. It's important to see that whether you're circumcised or not, it will take you nowhere. If you try to live in obedience to the law or not, it will still take you nowhere. If you're a Gentile who tries to be a Jew, it's going to be of no value whatsoever. And if you're a Jew who tries to be a Gentile, it's going to be of no value whatsoever. And so when people are arguing about these things and discussing these topics, or struggling with these things in their own minds, they need to get over them quickly. They need to get past these issues really fast and recognize that there is something else entirely that God is participating in, doing something entirely different. So moving forward into verse 12, this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, he says a lot in verse 12. There are four different topics that are presented here in verse 12. The first one is whether you are with or without Christ. Then you have the idea of being an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So you have being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That's the second one. The third one, having no hope. And the fourth one, without God in the world. Now, the first topic that he presents has to do with whether you are with or without Christ, with or without the Messiah. Now, the Jew had a belief in general. The Jews during that time were a mixed group of people who did believe in God and or the Messiah and others who did not. And what those percentages were, there is no way to really know. I would suspect that it would be similar to the kinds of percentages that we have today. I would be quite surprised if it was much different. But my point is that there was a belief and there were a lot of discussions and writings about the Messiah, about who they thought he would be, who they expected him to be. Some even considered some of the prophecies that God said about how they would know who the Messiah was when he showed up. So the belief of a Messiah did exist, but that did not necessarily mean that they had a belief that was consistent with God's definition of a Messiah. And this is really important to recognize, because when Jesus was there, who was the Messiah, who is the Messiah, he is the Christ. Christ is another word for Messiah. When he was there, most of the Jews rejected him. They did not consider him to be the kind of Messiah who they really wanted. And so were they with Christ or were they without Christ? Well, when you consider the fact that most of the people there rejected Jesus as the Messiah, they were without Christ. They were without the Messiah. They were without Jesus. At that time, they were the Jews, the Israelites. They were without Christ. And so in verse 12, when Paul speaks to the Ephesians and he says, at that time, you were without Christ, talking to the Gentiles. Okay, sure, the Gentiles were without Christ. That's easy. But you know, the Jews were without Christ also. The majority of them rejected Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. And so what really was the difference between the Jew and the Gentile when it comes to this topic of you were without Christ? Well, so the Jews were without Christ as well. There was no real fundamental difference. And this needs to be noted and understood because, again, the Jew has to be saved just like the Gentile has to be saved. God is doing a different kind of work than what most people are thinking about. He is making new creations. The Jew needed to be made into a new creation just like the Gentile. And so if the Gentiles were without Christ and the majority of the Jews were without the Messiah, without Christ, then being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel would mean what? What would that really matter? And I will explain this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is livinggodministries.net.